You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, I have really been looking forward to this interview. We've got Dr. Scott Symington. He's the author of the new book, Freedom from Anxious Thoughts and Feelings, a two-step mindfulness approach for moving beyond fear and worry. It's out right now. He'll tell us where you can pick it up. But welcome to the show, Dr. Symington.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
Now, listen, you know, we have thousands of thoughts every day, and a lot of times they make us uptight. People get out of control. I was talking on the break about people in traffic losing their mind over nothing. And the reality is that just some simple steps can help us keep within ourselves so that we don't damage ourselves and others. Help us out here, doctor.
Yeah, I think the piece that often gets missed is thoughts and feelings need energy to keep going like everything else.
Oh, yeah.
So if we want to have a sense of well-being, we want to cultivate the more positive and life-giving thoughts and feelings. And then when those challenging thoughts and feelings show up, anxiety, anger, things like that, we want to go through that the mental and emotional steps that diffuse them so we're not controlled by them, whipped around by them, and act in ways that really are not the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, but most people aren't trained to be able to do that, doctor. Are there simple things that they can do while they're in their car listening to us to calm themselves down when that crazy guy that's late for his meeting cuts them off?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just starting with breathing is a good one because it's all about the central nervous system and the charge that central nervous system gets, whether it's anxiety, anger, or other powerful emotions. And you're just needing to turn the dial down a little bit on that central nervous system so you can get a hold of your mind and think a little bit more clearly about, okay, what really, how big of a deal is this, or how important is me reacting to this person right now, to have a little bit more emotional control, and even bringing your mind more into the present moment, so focusing more on the road ahead of you or this conversation on the radio, instead of going away in your mind and thinking to yourself, why did that person do this? And this always happens to me, and fueling those feelings showing up inside you with the spotlight of attention and that rumination. That's what makes those feelings more powerful inside you, and then you're the only one that really suffers because that person in the other car, they have no idea what's going on in your head.
They don't even know you're there, but the word rumination is the most important part because if it only goes through once, it's really not that bad. But when it kicks around and bounces around, that's when you have to get it off on the other track and get your mind back to where you need to be going. Sometimes with me, it's just a song that I like to hear that I have in my mind that mellows me out. It's a George Benson song that I listen to. I start thinking, bump, bump.
No, that can be very effective. I actually, when I'm working with people that have driving anxiety, maybe getting on freeways and things like that, I will encourage them to even come up with a little jingle that will help them diffuse whatever they're feeling. So, yeah, you're not the first that can actually cause some of those feelings to dissipate.
Oh, no. I do that, too. Sometimes I'll get on the highway and I'll go, okay, I'm driving on the highway. I'm not really late. They say I'll be on time, so
okay,
I don't care about
nice.
The guy that's going crazy. And my mom has a term for him. She calls them cowboys. Mom, I know you're listening. You knew I was going to say that. So, doctor, when the cowboy's coming and I see him in the rearview mirror, I try to get on the side of the road and just start humming my song.
That's good. That's good. It introduces some levity, which can be helpful in those spaces.
Now, you know, part of the title of the book is mindfulness. Mindfulness is a magical term that was the term that everybody used over and over again, but it really is something that means something. And I think it's actually something different to each person. You were talking about getting back into yourself and back into the moment and back into your car and focused on what's going on around you. That's mindfulness, right?
Yeah, especially in the context of psychology, a core feature of mindfulness is increasing your capacity to be more in the present moment. Instead of going away in your mind and engaging in that negative rumination, that concern looping through your mind and trying to analyze it and look at it from every angle, or really being enveloped by that feeling. It's bringing your awareness in person more out into the present moment, which is different depending on what the context is. And an easy mindfulness exercise when you're driving is actually notice how your hands feel gripping the steering wheel. Oh. Look down the road, so open up your visual field, really listen to the sounds around you, how your body feels on the seat. So that would be right there a mindfulness practice, and activate something called the experiential focus network in the brain, which is a sense of self in the moment. And you can't do that and be worrying at the same time. It's a separate network in your brain. So mindfulness has many, many benefits. It can protect us from worry. It can increase our sense of well-being, and actually even help us enjoy these ordinary tasks and moments that we have in life.
Yeah, you know, and that's actually something that I find to be interesting, is that if you really just focus in on the you know, I do it. I like to do it when I'm in the gym. I notice that if I'm focused on the gym and I get the right music and I get in the rhythm, I can really create like almost a machine-like emotion in my body, and I really get into it, whatever the runner's high, whatever. It's a really interesting thing. But I think that the most important thing that we could talk about today, Doctor, is if you could help a couple of people with getting an approach to becoming mindful. Maybe there's like a one or two step approach, a real methodology that they can kind of lock into, that can really be a go-to for them.
Yeah. So I developed something called the two-screen method, which is featured in my book, Freedom from Anxious Thoughts and Feelings. And probably the easiest way for people to understand it is through an illustration. Okay. So let's say you walk away from an awkward social interaction and you get in your car, and then suddenly you have this thought of, oh gosh, that was such a stupid thing to say. And then you go away in your mind and you start reviewing those social tapes, the expression they had on their face, that pregnant pause that felt really uncomfortable. And see, if you hang out with that social interaction, which is now in the past, and try to study the tapes, you're actually going to enhance that insecure, anxious feeling, and there's going to be more and more worries, and then it's going to be very hard for you to rotate your attention, life energy to something else. You're going to enter a state of preoccupation. So with the two-screen method, there's really two steps. But even before you apply the steps, you imagine your internal world. So it's a way of visualizing what's happening on the inside and relating to thoughts and feelings visually and spatially. So you imagine your internal world as a media room with two screens. And on the forward-facing wall is the front screen, and that's the present moment, the more life-giving and positive thoughts, feelings, images, everything that translates into a sense of well-being or the best version of yourself. And then off to the right, there's a side screen. So if you're in your car, that would be the passenger seat. And that's where the threats, fears, insecurities, unhealthy preoccupations show up. So in this example, you're getting in your car, the side screen lights up, your attention whips around to that side screen, and scrolling across that screen is, oh my gosh, that was such a stupid thing to say. And then you start seeing images from the social interaction. So the two steps are, first, accept and redirect. You redirect your attention to the front screen, which if you're in your car, that's the road ahead or listening to this radio program, while accepting, and I know that's a tricky word, maybe for some people they would connect more with allow the side screen to run its tape in your peripheral vision. So it's a little bit like having a heckler on the sidelines, and you don't fight the presence of that heckler, but nor do you sit there and watch the heckler. The second step in the two-screen method is, and this is all mapped out in the book, is offering people anchors for the front screen, and there's three primary anchors that help hold people's attention and life energy on the front screen.
Doc, we're going to get close to a break, and I don't want you to get cut off. Can you stay with me through the break? Because this is great stuff.
Yeah, well, I'd love to.
Oh, this is great. Well, we're going to stick with us, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the side screen part, just because, and we'll hold for the other part, so it also makes people tease and stay with us. But you know, I find that I have that happen to me all the time, and I just try to say no. I just shut it down. I go, you can't have me, and it's not easy. Is there a way that we can train our mind? Because you talked about the neural pathways. If we do this enough, can we really get to the point where we can implement this and stay calmer?
100%. The plasticity of the brain, that's the term we use,
okay,
suggests that we can lay down new neuronal pathways in our brain. So we can de-energize the pathways that are getting us in trouble and then create new mental habits, new neuronal networks in the brain. So ideally, when your side screen lights up, and it can light up in an infinite number of ways, your goal is to relate to those thoughts and feelings showing up on the side screen in a way where they will dissipate, relate to them in a way where you cut off their energy supply. Thoughts and feelings, they feed off attention, like preoccupied attention, and they also feed off reactivity, and that is kind of the, oh no, I can't have that experience, or I can't allow that idea to be present inside me. You might get short-term relief, but then you're beholden to it. It will boomerang, and then
it'll
always
build up. It'll build up.
It build up. So this is applying mindfulness principles is what causes that side screen to fade into the background, where you move into non-resistance. It doesn't mean that you like what's showing up on the side screen, but you don't fight it because you know that's what gives it energy. And then you're using your attention, you're removing the spotlight of attention, that other energy source, and putting it on the front screen.
Tremendous.
But as you practice accept and redirect over and over and over again, you retrain your brain.
Tremendous. I'm going to practice this on the way home when that schmuck cuts me off later. Wanda, play some music, and then we're going to come back with some more great tips on, I got to say it this way, how to have a healthy and happy life. Dr. Symington, thank you so much.